The Patriots and Chiefs squared off in an AFC title rematch with Kansas City's defense getting the best of 42-year-old Tom Brady. TB12 had just 169 passing yards and one score. He was also sacked three times, one of them by Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark, who doubled down about it to reporters, saying, quote, "We'll be seeing them in the playoffs. Hopefully we do. I want them again. They don't have a tackle that can block us. Speed, power, whatever we were throwing at them, they couldn't handle." Nick, is it a mistake to call out the New England Patriots?
In general, I think the rule is yes. In this instance, I don't think it's a mistake. Because the reason that I said yesterday, we set aside all the officiating stuff and the where Brady is as a player, all of that. The reason I said yesterday for the Chiefs, this was such a critical game, is if they had lost it, the mental edge the Patriots would have over them would be so enormous. When in week 6 last year in Foxborough, after a terrible first half, the Chiefs take a fourth quarter lead and can't hold it. In the AFC Championship game at home, the Chiefs take 2 fourth quarter leads and can't hold them. Force a tie to get to overtime and can't stop them. If you then lose to them again, a clearly weakened Patriot team, a Patriot team that's playing its worst month of football all year, then what real belief do you can go in there and beat them? But that's not what happened. They did beat them. They pressured Tom Brady at a higher rate than he's been pressured by any team all year by a wide margin. The defense has to feel like it played spectacularly. They got twice on trick plays and a blocked punt on the special teams. That was really the entirety of the Patriots moving the football. So now I think this is LeVar Ball-ish almost. Speak it into existence. We're not afraid of them. You should be afraid of us. And I've never been a huge believer of bulletin board material to begin with. I certainly don't think bulletin board material exists for the best coach teams. Maybe a poorly coached team in the NFL, a team that's kind of wading its way through the season. But if we assume Belichick's the greatest coach ever, we would assume that he's going to have his team at maximum motivation for a playoff game, no matter what is said. So this is Frank Clark, the Chiefs' big offseason acquisition, saying, "You're not the bully on the block anymore. We are, and we have figured you out," and trying to instill that type of confidence in his team. And by the way, the Chiefs shouldn't fear the Patriots. Right now, no quality team should fear the New England Patriots, how they've played the last 6 weeks.
Here's the problem. LeVar Ball wasn't right about much. Right? But look, I get what you're saying. Sometimes you can respect the team too much.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe... I guess you're coming from that angle of Frank Clark saying, look, we're not respecting these guys. You know, they put their pants on, you know, one leg at a time, just like we do. But I don't like it. I think it was foolish. Number one, but for some horrible calls by the officials, you may have lost that game. Maybe. It wasn't a done deal that New England would have won, but you may have lost that game, number one. Two, you're right. They put great pressure on Brady, and they are a good pass defense, actually. But overall, their defense isn't strong, and against the run, they're horrible. And you look at Bill Belichick, you know this is a coach that makes adjustments. You know this is a coach that I wouldn't be surprised if in that game they're not showing everything to Kansas City. They're you know, just trying to get that and see what Kansas City may do when they meet them in the playoffs. So they're going to make the adjustments. I think they're going to try to expose them. They'll probably run the football very well if they meet Kansas City in the playoffs.
Real quick, if they're not showing everything in a game when they ran a flea flicker and a running back pass, then unless they've got the annexation of Puerto Rico coming up, I don't know what trick they... I think the Patriots wanted that game. I think they needed that game. I think they now understand they are one loss away from not getting a bye. They understood going into that game that if they wanted any hope of getting the one seed, they needed to run the table. So I don't agree with you.
I'm not saying they didn't care about winning. I'm just saying,
keeping something in reserve.
That's what they do. They collect data. I think you'll see a different team. And I'm not picking them. I picked the Chiefs to win the AFC. But I think you'll see a different Patriots team against Baltimore if they face each other again, and then Kansas City. So I just think, Frank Clark, why? There was no need to do this.
No reason to do it at all. But do you think the win means the monkey's officially off the Chiefs' back? There's no more mental edge that one team has over the other with these two?
I think it officially would. I think you have to do it in the playoffs for it, but I don't know. If they play once in the playoffs, they played them damn near to a draw, and they lost. Like, so it's not Phillip Rivers, who has never beaten Tom Brady. It's not Ben Roethlisberger, who I think Pittsburgh's 0-3 in the playoffs since against New England since Brady has been there. That's the other reason I like this, is that the Chargers, there's Peyton Manning, who the Patriots got the better of, but Peyton Manning had some successes. But then after Patriots Colts over the last 20 years, the two top teams in the AFC have been the Steelers and the Chargers, who have never beaten the Patriots in a big-time football game. In one of the meaningful games, the Chargers have never beaten Tom Brady with Phillip Rivers, and the Steelers have never beaten him in a game that we felt really meant something. It's why last year was so surprising that the bad Steeler team or mediocre Steeler team beat New England. The Chiefs need to have the mentality of, we are not only next, we are now. That the team we are concerned with is Baltimore. That this is, it's 2020 damn near. It's not the 2010s. It's certainly not the 2000s. We're not afraid of these guys anymore. And I'd feel differently about if the Chiefs had won this game 45-42 and the defense was just a passive participant.
No, the defense showed up.
The defense was outstanding. Right. They pressured Tom Brady over 40% of his dropbacks all year long. There wasn't a single game he'd been pressured more than 30% of his dropbacks. They have credible reasons to believe we can beat these guys in their building because they just did it.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future. Or visit www.pacificlife.com. We're talking about the Lakers, who seem to be making history on a nightly basis. The latest coming Sunday when Anthony Davis and LeBron James became the first Lakers teammates to combine for 70-plus points in consecutive games since Kobe and Shaq did it back in 2003. But LeBron shunned talk of the big picture greatness, saying, I live too much in the moment. Broussard, will the 21-3 Lakers be an historically great team?
Well, first
of all, is this just a great start?
I love LeBron's answer. That's exactly what you should say. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. Stay in the moment. One, because it's the politically right thing to say, but and it's the right example for your team. But also, that's what they need to do. Don't get ahead of yourself. Look, obviously, they got to win the championship. I think they need to win about 66 games or more. They'll probably do that barring some type of major load management in the second half of the season. But I want to see more. And I picked the Lakers to win it all in the preseason. Obviously, you got to feel good about that pick. But I still want to see more. Number one, we've seen this before. The Bucks, heck, they're 21-3 too. Okay, the Boston Celtics a few years ago, Kyrie Irving's first year there, they started 22-4. We know Golden State over the course of a whole season went 73-9.
What did they start 24-0 that year?
Yes, under Luke Walton.
Yep.
And so we've seen great starts before. The key is to finish it, and that's what they have to do. So I as confident as I am in the Lakers winning this, I'm not as confident in them being the best team in the league as I was, say, in the KD Steph Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Who I just knew would win the championship. So I have to see more. They haven't had the toughest schedule. They're 5-3 against teams 500 or better. Great weekend, you know, when they beat Denver and Utah and even Portland.
And superb road record.
Yes.
They've done it away from home something, because I think most people right now acknowledge Lakers and Bucks are the two best teams in the league, but a lot of people think the Clippers are the next best.
I think
best,
the Clippers are
and
right
the Clippers,
there.
Despite the win last night, have a losing record on the road. I have no interest, and neither should LeBron nor Anthony Davis, any about some historically great team. Who are the historically great teams? There is no defined list. We all agree the 72-win Bulls are the best. I think most people agree the best team ever because they won 70 and won the title. The Warriors won 73 games and had the first ever unanimous MVP. And that guy right there snatched it from them. So now nobody considers them a historically great team. Because of the start they've gotten out to, they are in such a great position to achieve what should be their only regular season goal, the one seed in the West. I don't think they should chase. I think Milwaukee might win 68 games. I really do. I think Milwaukee, you said, is also 21-3. They've had a tougher schedule than the Lakers, right, comparatively. And Giannis is trying to win a bunch of MVPs. Giannis is building his resume as we speak. The Lakers could go 39-19 the rest of the way, which is good, but not great. Win 60 games. That's going to be enough for the... 60 wins will be enough for the one seed in the West this year. Everyone else has at least 7 losses already. Where the Lakers are going to be able to do their load management is the final few weeks of the year. So, like, I don't even understand the goal of what is historically great. Is it sweeping through the playoffs? I don't think that's possible anymore.
No, and I don't think... So, let me ask you this. So I get, and we're on the same page with LeBron's answer.
Yeah.
At this point in time, in December, before Christmas, you shouldn't even be thinking in terms of being historically great. However, long term, the back of your mind, I do think, I mean, they should be maybe to each other, like LeBron and AD, saying, look, we want to be one of the greatest teams of all time.
But then to me, that is a postseason accomplishment, not regular season. It's not about winning 74 games.
Some of the regular season does. No, I agree with that. But I think if you win 57, you're probably not going to be in the argument for greatest team of all time or one of the great teams. But I think if they shouldn't shoot for 66. I think they'll get something like that just by playing. But if I think for LeBron and his legacy, AD and his future, if they could become a historically great team, that would be tremendous. And I don't think the Miami teams with LeBron were a historically great team.
The one that won 27 straight had the opportunity to be if they had gone on a massive, if they had swept through the playoffs or come close to it. The problem was the 27-game winning streak took so much out of them that they were gassed come the postseason. If you remember, that was the Ray Allen year.
Right.
That was the year the Spurs took them 7. I just think...
You're not worried about that this year? Am I the only one that's worried that they're so strong and they're putting 100% into every single game when AD's got a bit of a bum shoulder and
getting
beat up a little, that a great start's not going to affect a great finish?
No, because I think if they, with the whole rest of the West, the Rockets are playing good but not great. I think the Mavs are slightly overachieving. The Nuggets' best player, Nikola Jokic, still is not in shape. The Clippers are clearly going to load manage all year long, and I think they're going to struggle on the road all year long. I think the Lakers, with 10 games left in the season, are going to have the one seed in the West all but locked up. Now, they will not have the one seed overall, and I don't think they should chase Milwaukee on that. To your point, Jenna, I don't think they should be going full bore in the final 2 weeks to try to catch Milwaukee in case that's the NBA Finals matchup. That's when they should load manage. That's when you should make sure you are rested and ready. And you know when also they'll be able to load manage? When the Clippers are in a 6-game dogfight in the first round with the Jazz, and the Lakers are getting the Phoenix Suns and dealing with them in a week. Like in the first round of the playoffs, that's when you will be able to effectively make sure you're rested. I just don't, the historically great team thing, it's too early for it. And like, what for? People remember the titles. And if you win a title with LeBron in Los Angeles, it will be remembered as a historically great team, even if it's not a Mount Rushmore team.
Back here with Coach Eric Mangini. The New England Patriots acknowledged yesterday that an independent production crew inappropriately filmed the Cincinnati Bengals sideline this past Sunday in Cleveland. Now, the Patriots play the Bengals this weekend. The film crew claim they were shooting a Patriots web series, but they do admit they did not inform the Bengals or the NFL. New England also said the production crew is not a part of the Patriots football operations. The NFL is currently investigating the incident. Nick, I'll start with you. What was your reaction to this when you heard it?
Why is it always them? Was my first reaction. Why, if you were to be told, if you're just walking down the street, and you didn't see, you weren't on Twitter, you didn't watch any of the shows, and you're like, hey, there's a football team that's been accused of doing something against the rules, against an upcoming opponent. The league's investigating. All the money in the world, you got to guess, you got to be right, which team? Is there a single person in America that wouldn't say, well, let's start with the Patriots and work backwards from there? So there's that. It also, when I read this story, and it was seemed, as Chris, as you pointed out earlier, the Patriots seemed to very quickly get to any national NFL reporter that would listen their side of the story. And then Diana Russini dug in on the Bengals side of the story. And the Bengals seem very adamant they have been wronged here, that this was not just a we didn't know the rules type of error. And what was to me very troubling is the Patriots story of, listen, we're doing this docu-series for the website, it was an oversight, it was a mistake, is eerily similar to what Don Van Natta said when he reported on the original Spygate, that those guys were told, if caught, say, it is for a show, for the team website, or for the organization. Okay, so there's that. There's also the Patriots' own statement, which seems to me to acknowledge they know they screwed up here. Our failure, they let the Browns know they were going to be there because they had to get credentialed. But our failure to inform the Bengals and the league was an unintended oversight. I don't know much about the New England Patriots. Doesn't seem like an organization that has a lot of unintended oversight. Seem pretty buttoned up. The production crew inappropriately filmed the field from the press box. Now, I'd really like to see this video because their argument is we're doing a profile of what an advanced scout does. And maybe if they show the video, if the Patriots are telling the truth, the advanced scout could say, well, this is why that is what they're showing here is important to my work. Or maybe it's a rookie head coach and a new coaching staff that they're trying to create a file on. Maybe it's that. And at this point, to me, the Patriots have lost the benefit of the doubt on situations like this, and I don't know how they could have the benefit of the doubt for many people in situations like this.
I think sometimes when you win, and you win all the time, everybody else takes a look at it and says, well, there must be some reason. There must be some reason that they're able to beat everybody else on a consistent basis year in and year out, and it can't be just because they work harder, they work smarter, they're more consistent, they're more disciplined, that, you know, all the reasons why that they consistently win. So you're always looking for some other reason. And if you're taping the sidelines, what are you getting at this point? Everything is over radio. Everything is are you lip reading? Like, are you looking at the mechanics of substitutions? Well, those signals, everybody's gotten those forever, and they're very demonstrative because you want your guys to be able to see it as you give them. So what could the possible gain be now that everything is done via radio?
Well, can I ask you a question about that real quick? There's a great NFL Films moment from the Super Bowl, Rams-Patriots, the most recent one, the one last year, not the one 20 years ago, where Belichick is yelling, and I forgot who pointed this out on Twitter. I wish I could remember to give credit because I saw it yesterday via their tweet. Belichick is saying, where's McVay? Where's McVay, looking across the sideline? Because they had realized something in fair prep, not in any type of nefarious prep, that had to do with what the Rams did on special teams and related to if McVay was with the offense or if he was standing on the sideline. And Belichick in the Super Bowl saying, where's McVay? So is it not at least plausible that a team as buttoned up, as smart? You talk about how the Patriots will, Belichick will pull on a defensive front he used in the late 80s with the Giants, that they could use any possible tendency, especially with a rookie coaching staff and a rookie head coach, to learn, oh, okay, if Zach Taylor's talking to Andy Dalton, we don't have to worry that they are about to run a fake punt. But if he's standing there, is that out of the realm of possibility?
The problem with rookie head coaches is they don't have tendencies. He's maybe here one week and somewhere else the other week. He's trying to figure out the best way to operate. The idea that they're taping the sideline to get some sort of human pattern of behavior that's then going to predict the plays that happen, that to me is just such a stretch. And look, if this is a situation where they were doing it for the Bengals 1-12 team, and it was somehow orchestrated through the football ops, what possible gain could they have gotten?
I see where you're coming from, Coach, but then I say, well, then why does the league ban that type of activity? Because you're right. I mean, there's enough legitimate means you get film on the teams. You know what I mean? You have your advanced scouts there already getting all the information. But why does the league ban it? So the fact that it's just outlawed by the league, there must be something to it. And why do the Patriots, if indeed this is true, do it and other teams don't? Also, Nick, you keep pointing out correctly how buttoned up the Patriots are. And you said they work harder, they work smarter. And I agree with you on that. But a franchise that is so pays so much attention to detail, I would think, even if Belichick didn't have anything to do with this, I would think that franchise would know, we got to tell the Bengals. We got to tell the league. All right, and be on top of everything. And then there was a report that I heard from Diana Russini from ESPN where she tweeted out that
When
the cameraman was confronted by Bengals security, he said, well, how about if I just delete the footage and it all is forgotten? That's the type of stuff, because I gave them the benefit of the doubt, probably foolishly, because I think, as Nick said, they don't deserve that anymore. I gave it to them initially.
I think it's a little ironic that they're in trouble shooting a documentary called Do Your Job and someone didn't do their job and let the Bengals know. I don't think that Bill is responsible for the website production. Like he's involved in a lot of stuff. I never remember him saying, hey, what shorts are we doing this week for the website? You know, we got to drive.
We haven't really
got enough clicks this week. Let's do that segment on the advanced scout. What do you think, Ernie?
Wouldn't he have to clear, though, a scout being videotaped? He would have to clear that, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know if it would go all the way up to him. It could be his assistant, Berge. It could be Nick Caserio. Hey, can we do this thing on the advanced scout? And what do advanced scouts do? They look at the other sideline and they're trying to get the signal for different personnel groups or looking at the huddle procedure, how many seconds it takes. And there's some value to the advanced scouts work, but it's not like.
But so here's the thing, though, because to me, that's the key point. If there's nothing to be gained whatsoever from video recording, then there's nothing to be gained from sending that advanced scout. If I can't learn anything from being able to watch it play after play on video, then I certainly can't gain anything from sending a human being there to then tell me what he watched play after play. So whether or not they would do it or did do it, there is clearly would be a bit of an edge. But there's a couple...
Hold on. The advanced scout isn't just related to the in-game stuff. There's some things pregame where you walk around and
sure.
You look at warm-ups.
Yeah.
And sometimes
son who's on the coaching staff sticks around on the field a little longer than he should, and the opposing team's head coach has to shoo him off.
Look,
that's happened with one team this year.
I understand your frustration when you support a team that hasn't won a lot.
No, that's
historically,
not it. I didn't
and
make
you consistently
this story.
Get beat by the same team over and over again. It must be cheating, or it must be some sort of black magic, because it can't be hard work and discipline.
But what if it's,
and things like that.
What if it's all of the above? What if it is they're the smartest team, they're the best team, and they also, whether it is a few pounds of PSI in a football or one tendency we learned from this head coach in 2019 when they're 1-12, but in 2024 when he has this thing turned around with Joe Burrow that we're going to use against him in the divisional playoff game. What if it is, and what if it is as simple as this, and we all knew someone like this growing up? Someone, when we were, at least I did, maybe you guys ran in better crowds, but a friend of yours who in high school could not go to the local grocery store, a bodega or a corner store, without pocketing something, whether he needed it or not. You know why? Because he could, and because he'd gotten away with it forever, and it became just what he did. I'm not saying the Patriots are that friend. I'm saying of all my friends, they're the ones I'd be pointing at if we got stopped and said, hey, someone pocketed something. And I'd have real reason to believe it. And so, but listen, maybe it could just be unfair coincidence. And the Bengals, who have no history of creating unfair allegations, could have just picked this poor guy. He's just trying to do his job.
Unfair allegation. The guy's been there. It's a new program. There was no issues with.
Well,
when Marvin was there, I don't remember there being a lot of issues with this situation. So it's a new program, and you know, maybe there's something to it. But if there is something to it, like the
advantage, wow,
like how you would possibly take that chance in light of what's happened in the past, to me would be mind-boggling. And if there is something there, then
it
should come down with the intensity of, you know,
10,000 suns.
That it would just be an incredible coincidence.
It also, just one more note from the thing, the Patriots own statement, the content team sent a 3-person video crew to the Bengals-Browns game. They then later in the statement say they had included independent contractors. But they didn't say it was 3 independent contractors. They appear to be saying, we sent this crew, and then later on it's like, but some of them didn't work for us. But the statement to me is very interesting in what it says and what it doesn't say. But the one line, the sole purpose of the filming was to provide an illustration of an advanced scout at work on the road. Well, the NFL now has the film. They have people in the league office who I'm sure have been advanced scouts, know what that job is. And I'm sure they can look at it today and figure out whether or not that explanation holds water. And maybe it does.
The wait to see rookie sensation Zion Williamson will make his regular season Pelicans debut maybe a little later than we all originally thought. Reports say Zion might not return from his torn meniscus until the new year. He was originally expected back later this month. Nick, what's the more likely outcome for Zion as he deals with injuries? Superstar or bust?
I am personally offended by this question, even though that is not on you, nor is it on our wonderful production staff. I am so concerned that the correct answer could be the latter rather than the former. And the only way this kid busts is injury, which is why I'm concerned. Now,
the only way
he busts, he is, if healthy, he's 20 points a game. And that, to me, that's not a bust. Like, you know, now, if you're the number one overall pick and you don't make the Hall of Fame, I don't know about any of that. But this guy, this young man, we saw it in the preseason. You saw it at the highest levels of college basketball. In the world of the greatest athletes in the world, he is a one percenter of the one percenters. And so it is concerning to me as someone who, bless you, makes his living and has gotten such an enormous part of the individual joy in my life outside of my family by watching superhuman athletes do superhuman things. It's not just that this guy is a great basketball player. It's that he's one of the special athletes. And that's one of the reasons I love the NBA. Like KD, for example, coming out of Texas, we knew he'd be amazing.
Right.
And his skill set was unique. And the fact that he's a 7-footer could do it. But he didn't, for me, give me the thrill watching that someone who looks like they can fly can. And that's what Zion can. And so I still would say superstar. But a knee injury before you play one NBA game is about the worst case scenario. And that's the track he's on. And I hate it.
And he's had 3 knee injuries of varying degrees in the last year or so.
Three injuries with a bigger frame, with a knee that has to carry that bigger frame.
There's some people around the league do think if he loses too much weight, he's no longer Zion. Like, part of what makes him so great is his size and his bulk, and he can go through and over and around people.
I agree with that, by the way.
Well, I see where they're coming from, but here's my thing. If he's already 285, if he loses 25 pounds and he's 260, you're still big and huge, especially when you're only 6'6", 6'7", so he still will have that power. I have some concerns. Like, you obviously, everybody has to be concerned about his health. I have a few concerns about his game. You know, obviously he doesn't shoot it that well, mid-range or the three. However, I'm going superstar. I like his personality. I like it. I think he'll work hard. I think he'll work on the elements of his game he's not that good at. And what he does best, we know, is attack the basket. And it is easier than ever to get to the rim in the NBA. Easier than ever. I mean, first of all, the floor is spread. You can't hand check anybody. And a lot of teams funnel you to the mid-range. They want to run you off the three-point line, so they're funneling you to the mid-range. And there are very few rim protectors. So you push this guy to the mid-range, and then he's going to be able to go over anybody at the rim. So I'm with you, Nick. And what I love about him is that he should be able to get you 20-some-odd points, 10 rebounds, without you really running a lot for him.
Correct. So fast breaks, offensive rebounds, he should be able to get 14 again.
Right.
So you only need like 6 points in the half court to get to 20, and I think he's a plus defender. Maybe not on ball, and rookies are never plus defenders, but he's such a freak athlete, and
he's
saw him
be a weak side shot blocker.
Even closing out guys on three-pointers.
Look, you guys can stick to the basketball side of it. I'll stick to the side. I know he's not going to lose 20 pounds if he's not in the game playing. He does need to lose a little bit of weight. Him sitting on the bench right now and rehabbing, the reason that he may lose 20 pounds in the first couple months of a season is because you're out there burning so many calories every night. Him being out since when? A couple months now, and it might be a little bit more. I think he's going to have gained weight before he goes back in. There's no way he's losing weight, especially not 20 pounds.
Well, not right now, I agree with you, but he's going to need a concerted program. That's not based on you playing in the games, but in the offseason or whatever, where you, like Charles Barkley did it. You know, he said he lost 30 pounds, something like that.
It wasn't in his first year.
That's what he's going to need.
Well,
no, but it needs to be soon.
No, I'm saying it needs to be soon, and I don't
see. Maybe in this offseason or something.
I don't know if it needs to be soon or not. What I do know is this. If he stays healthy, his basement is Blake Griffin. Basement. Now, Blake turned into a better outside shooter.
Yes.
Blake reinvented himself. The first 5 years, Blake Griffin, let me do that. Good rebounder, good, decent defender, and amazing above-the-rim guy who, if you have the right team around and going to play at the right pace, can be dynamic. That's why I don't think bust is on the table. And by the way, I don't think Greg Oden was a bust because it was injury.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Who's the guy the Cavs took number one overall?
Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett. Sorry, Anthony. He's a bust. He just never worked out. But bust or not, I want Zion to be an all-timer. We get athletes like this once every 10 years if we're lucky. A meniscus injury before he plays his first game that now seems to be delayed in the return. To me, it's really concerning, and I sports-wise, it's sad, and so I know it seems too dramatic, but I love watching.
The weight loss was very dramatic.
Yeah, I understand. I love watching these guys do things that they're the only people in the world who can do.
There are some people that I've heard say, well, he should sit out the whole year. And my thing is this, look, at some point you have to play.
Basketball.
I'm really getting tired, and it's not just basketball. I'm really getting tired of the sit him out, you know, because we're not winning this year. At some point, you gotta play, and if a guy gets hurt, it just was in the car.
Right, but you don't rush him.
No,
back.
Don't rush him back.
But
if he's ready to play in January,
healthy, go play.
Regardless
play.
Of where the Pelicans are.
Yes, I mean, you gotta play at some point.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.